The big man and nervous Eddie started to descend the emplacement to ground level. Michaela lingered a moment before hugging Mildred and placing a gentle kiss on her cheek.
Thank you.
What for?
For setting us free.
Michaela then followed the two Sekhmen down into the ville.
No charge.
There was no time to talk further. If they could take no active part as yet in the revolt, at least Mildred and JB could study its progress from their secure bolt hole. Both of them had maneuvered themselves into positions where they could see across the ville, but couldn't be observed from below. Both had blasters in their hands in case Sekhmen sympathetic to Ethan should want to relieve or check on the men they thought were manning the emplacement. There was nothing to do now except watch and wait. That would be the most frustrating thing of all. From their vantage point, they could see the three Pleasantville rebels split up and move off in different directions to begin rounding up their army of dissidents. The trio managed to stay clear of the areas they had identified as hotspots for Ethan's supporters. They disappeared into three separate dwellings, and it seemed like an age before they all emerged once more, this time with three companions. All three were armed, and Mildred recognized one of them as Angelica, the trader in cloth who had settled in the ville and with whom Christie had been billeted. As Mildred watched, the striking woman tied her distinctive multicolored hair extensions in a drab scarf so that she was less likely to stand out in a crowd. Angelica had a Glock slung over her shoulder on a short strap, and she appeared to be speaking in an animated manner to Michaela, who had recruited her. After a brief discussion, the two women parted company and headed off in different directions. Meanwhile, Stark and Eddie had begun their own recruitment, and as the number of people doubled with each separate visit, it was easy to see a pattern develop across the ville, as the line of dissidents grew, flowing out in a spiderweb pattern across the streets. As more and more were recruited to the cause, it seemed an inevitability that those who supported Ethan would know something was happening. JB watched the action unfold in front of him.
Dark Knight, I haven't felt so useless for a long, long time, and I hate it.
It's better this way, John. We can get down there and join the firefight once it starts, but right now we'd only be likely to alert the opposition. We've got to have patience.
Yeah, I guess.
Meanwhile, down in the ville, there were a number of fighters gathering together to tackle the armory and the Sek compound. Stark, Eddie, and Michaela had managed to marshal a considerable force to tackle the two targets, and had encountered little if no resistance. This was partly because they had been careful to approach the right targets, and partly because the level of support for Ethan hadn't been as high as they'd suspected. Those who had followed the Baron were complacent, and this complacency was enabling the rebels to grow in number. JB and Mildred kept watching as the forces divided and gathered around the two areas that were marked for attack. There had been little resistance thus far. A couple of dissenting voices had been swiftly and silently stilled so as not to alert the Sek forces. Most of the activity had been away from the center of the ville, and the rebels had been able to recruit without causing too many ripples in ville life. But time was running out. There were now two forces gathered at the strategic targets, and by their sheer size alone, they would soon be noticed by the still unsuspecting majority of the population. A few hours before, in the darkness of the night, the four companions clustered in the wooded copse plotted their revenge against the horsemen that roamed the open space beyond. Ryan was seething as the full realization of what had happened hit him.
Jack, you reckon Ethan will have realized what's going on by now?
Be triple stoop not to, and Ethan not triple stoop.
That's just what I was thinking. From now on, we have to assume that the horsemen will be out to hunt all of us. They've got firepower that's probably the same as ours, but not superior. And they've got the horses, which will make them faster over open ground.
But not in here. So we take them on here. But Grey Horse and Ethan will have worked that one out for themselves, so how do we get them in here where they'll be vulnerable? They'll be quite happy to wait out there until we come out.
Yes. Those two reprobates will be contented with such a course of action. But can you see those who have paid to see blood having quite such a long fuse? I'm sure that I cannot.
Doc's got a point. I figure that the best thing we can do is hit their vulnerable spots. That blonde asshole riding with him wants my blood, so I'll give him something to think about. As for the cold-hearted bastards who paid, let's offer them their jack's worth and see how they react.
But the first thing that needed to be done was for the outside of the cops to be wrecked. While Doc and Christie stayed in the center, Jack and Ryan set out to the east and west, respectively, intending to skirt the edges of the forest to see where the riders were and any formation they may have adopted. The copse itself was about 500 yards in diameter and about 700 yards in length, large enough for the companions to successfully contain themselves from outside interference, but small enough to provide a group of horsemen with difficulties in maneuvering. That was precisely why Grey Horse and Ethan were keeping their increasingly impatient riders on the outside of the copse. When both had finished their circuits, they returned to where Doc and Christy awaited them.
Well, what news from nowhere do you bring for us?
Say stupid things, Doc, but know what you mean. On the west, 6 riders. Ethan, Blond Man, 4 others. Ethan split into 2 threes, each patrolling north and south in woods. Moving slow, triple red, but not getting much. 4 who pay Big Jack to see his fight, getting restless.
Good. That's what I like to hear. The more impatient those fuckers get, the more likely they are to make mistakes. Rush in instead of thinking.
What about your side, lover?
Just the 3 riders. Grey Horse, some guy who looks like his mom's also his sister, and a fat bastard who looks like a traitor. He's keeping them tight to the center, so they can rush either end of the woods in equal time.
Stoop not keep even numbers much as possible.
Yeah, but what do you expect? Grey Horse and Ethan haven't got that much combat experience, and not that much smarts either. Ethan wants to keep the customers happy, but with only 1 sec man for each pair, there's little else he can do.
So what's the best way to hit them?
Ryan looked up through the leaf and branch cover to where the sun was rising and the sky was beginning to lighten.
In this cover, one of our best assets was the dark. Now it's morning, I figure we need to move fast, make the most of what's left. And I think I know the best way to do this.